are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, January 3rd. And hey, a road win, so hit it one time, Mason.
Detroit basketball!
This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen. Please spread the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast to you and yours. Well, I guess to you, that wouldn't really be my very effective way of, although I guess if you're talking to yourself and trying to spread the word, maybe as you're strolling down the street, someone would hear that. So you may go ahead and spread the word to yourself while you're at it in 2019. But looking back today at a big win for the Pistons on Wednesday night, salvaging one win in a four-game road swing. We're also going to talk about a strong night from Blake Griffin. We'll talk about the key to that and also an impressive stat where he leads the NBA. If you're a close fan, you probably already know what I'm talking about there. But plus, we will also talk about what I've been disappointed in Coach Dwayne Casey lately, something he's not trying, especially these last few weeks, and it's become something apparent that the Pistons need to kind of take this team to the next level so far this season. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Always enjoy the interaction during the games with all you guys. Really appreciate all of that. And the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook as well, Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Thanks to you guys for spreading the retweets and all the likes and all that good stuff, too. But the Pistons get the win on Wednesday night in Memphis, walking away from Memphis. See what I did there? A place that I've never been, despite living about a 4 or 5 hour drive from there for like 4 years. I rue the day, every single day of those 4 years that I didn't go to Memphis when I lived in Springfield, Missouri, in the Ozarks. But the Pistons did go to Memphis on Wednesday, got the win 101-94, breaking a three-game losing streak. Only the fourth win for this team in the last 16 games, a 4-12 stretch, which has brought the Pistons to two games under 500 at 17-19 this season. Still somehow inside barely of the Eastern Conference playoffs at the number 8 spot, the final playoff spot in the East. One half game inside the playoffs right now, just ahead of Orlando and Brooklyn, who are tied for the 9th spot. Like I said, one game behind the Detroit Pistons. Pistons with the late 13-0 run to put away a listless Memphis team that was basically without Mike Conley after an inspiring effort, uninspiring effort from them, and they ended up going to blows in the locker room after the game. Apparently, Garrett Temple and Omri Caspi went to blows after the game, after a team meeting, an infamous team meeting, one that the Pistons had a little bit earlier as well. Got to give some credit to the much maligned Pistons defense, though, holding Memphis to 12 points in the third quarter. I thought the Pistons only scoring 21 in that third quarter was a bit of a missed opportunity, going to the fourth only up 6 or 7. And I thought that might come back to haunt them. But the Pistons, as we know, played well down the stretch. A couple threes by Luke Kennard there in the fourth. One by Langston Galloway during that 13-0 run as well to put it away. But Blake Griffin leads the way. He had 26 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists for the Pistons' best player. 16 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists for Reggie Jackson, who kind of looked a little bit, dare I say it, like a little bit comfortable on the catch-and-shoot threes. Interesting article from Vince Ellis in the Free Press that was published late on Wednesday night that you'll want to check out, where Reggie kind of owns up to his struggles and talks about how he's dealing with finding his role and finding his way after a slow start to the season, a system change, and obviously a huge change in his responsibilities. But Jackson responded to that, and I believe those comments were after the Milwaukee game on Tuesday night, and Jackson responded with a pretty good game, played well. 4 for 8 from deep on those rainbow threes. So, you know, maybe you need a better Reggie Jackson. You need a better point guard situation for the Pistons to get better and to be a team going into the playoffs as anything other than a complete whipping boy in the first round. So we'll see if they're able to put that together. 13 points for Reggie Bullock, 3 of 7 from three. Andre Drummond had 11 points and 10 rebounds. And I can't be the first person who thought of this. I thought of this during the game tonight. But we should call that offensive rebound after the missed bunny, the grab, the offensive rebound that you get. Can we officially call that rebound stat like a Drummond? Is it official? Can we call it that? Like, yeah, he had 10 rebounds, but two of them were Drummonds. So that should only count as like a quarter of a rebound or something like that. I wonder if anyone in Pistons Nation has a way to figure out how many Drummonds Drummond has had this year and throughout his career as well. And again, I'm probably not the first person to come up with calling that stat a Drummond. But 26 points on the other side for Jaren Jackson Jr. The Spartan had 10 rebounds as well. That guy is a stud. I think on yesterday's podcast, I incorrectly stated that he was the third pick of the draft. He's actually the fourth pick of the draft, as pointed out by George Blaha, who returned with a win on the telecast tonight with Special K. Going into the draft, I told you, I really like Doncic and I really like Jaren Jackson Jr. coming into the draft. Sometimes I really do know what I'm talking about. I swear that happens on the occasional instance. But the Pistons get a nice win on the road. Hats off to them for that. Needed that one. I know some of you guys were talking about it before the game, that this is a game that they absolutely needed. I said it going into the fourth quarter as well. As disappointing as that 6 or 7 point effort lead going into the fourth seemed to be, that this was just a gigantic fourth quarter. To come in, get a few days off here, heading home before the game Saturday at Little Caesars Arena against the Utah Jazz. So to have a whole four-game losing streak over the holidays, it's like if you go out on the road and lose four games and two of them to, you know, 500-type teams, mediocre-type teams to Orlando and Memphis, then it's going to be a tough one to get over, tough pill to swallow. You're away from your family for New Year's. You're away during the holiday season when everyone's getting together, and you're out there dropping four games on the road. That would be just a tough way to go into the 2019 portion of the season. And certainly one win against a 500 team in the Memphis Grizzlies doesn't solve everything. The Pistons are far from a work in progress. I like what Dwayne Casey said in the post-game scrum after the game with the reporters and Johnny Cain from Fox Sports Detroit. He says, we're in a big hole right now, and we got to shovel by shovel, get ourselves back, I guess, well, I don't know, cover the hole, I guess that would be. I've got my metaphors mixed up here. But shovel dirt back into the holes as you're in it, so you can maybe step on it and get out of it. I've got my mind, I can't really wrap my head around but what he said. But it was a good little axiom there. He's got kind of some old-timey quotes. Love Dwayne Casey with those old-timey quotes, but he had one on Wednesday night, and I like that. So just that was just one scoop of dirt going back into the hole, which you are standing in, which with that dirt in there, the hole becomes smaller, and you're getting closer to not being in a hole. And then maybe, hey, you know what, to extend it, because I know you guys haven't heard enough of this quite yet, maybe the hole ends up getting like level ground at some point, and then maybe you start building like a mountain instead of the hole, so you can like stand on top of the mountain, and then maybe like you're the king on top of the mountain. So let's just get that hole nice and filled with the shovels of dirt right now, and then we'll move on to mountains down the road. So there we go. Pistons returning to action Saturday at home against the Utah Jazz. You're welcome for that. And then the Spurs coming to town in Detroit on Monday night before the Pistons head out west for four games. I believe the Memphis game, you don't cross the Mississippi to get to Memphis. You go right up against the Mississippi River. Let me do a little geography in my head right now. Have they crossed the Mississippi yet this year? I don't know. They went to Minnesota. I believe that would be on the same side of the Mississippi. I don't know. Maybe I'm forgetting a game, or maybe I'm doing a little bit of bad geography, but the Pistons might be crossing the Mississippi for the first time this season in a couple games. No, that's wrong. They were in Houston for that one game before Thanksgiving. Just thought of that right now. So anyway, I know we've gone on a couple tangents here, but they will be heading out west, certainly west of the Mississippi, again after the Houston time they did earlier this year. Hopefully they bring their Mississippi passports. Four-game trip out west. Not real tough opponents per se. You got the Lakers, you got the Kings, the Clippers, and one more bad team in there as well, if I can remember off the top of my head. But not great teams that the Pistons are going to be going up against. But you know, certainly losable games. Utah, who's not been playing well so far this season, they'll play Utah again at the end of this four-game stretch. So always tough to go out west, obviously. Always tough to hit the West Coast. But up next, we're going to talk about Blake Griffin's big night and the impressive stat that makes him we're going to give him a little bit of a defensive pass because of this stat that he has accumulated so far this year. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You guys could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons in this great podcast that we have here. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. And our demo was 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company go ahead and sponsor Locked On Pistons. Email me at Matt_Shook, SCHOCH, @yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, I will reveal the thing that has disappointed me most about Dwayne Casey during this brutal stretch for the Pistons, but the good news is they got a win on Wednesday night. Blake Griffin had another big game for the Pistons. We are used to that. I said yesterday on the podcast that Andre Drummond has played his way out of the All-Star game as of right now, in my opinion, but I still think that Blake is a pretty, like, a sizable lock-ish for the game for the Eastern Conference. They still pick the same amount of players from the West and the East and then pool them all together for the draft, as you guys know, but still doesn't change the fact that the players to be chosen are taken out of the pool from the Eastern Conference. Just kind of glancing at the front court players, and we'll get into this, I'm sure, more as the selections get closer. But looking at the Eastern Conference front court players, you got Giannis and Kawhi, who are both, you know, front court players that certainly do a lot of things that backcourt players do. But because of the dearth of big men in the Eastern Conference, you would probably slide them over to the front court and kind of take a couple of those spots as opposed to taking up the guard spots instead. You got Joel Embiid. He's a slam dunk all-star as well. And I don't know. I don't know that Al Horford is an all-star this year. I think he's certainly below Blake Griffin. So Giannis, Kawhi, Embiid, no-brainers that are above Blake Griffin. But after that, possibly Vucevic from Orlando. It might be him and kind of Blake on that next tier of front court players. Maybe I'm forgetting somebody, but looks like a pretty smooth, easy path for Blake Griffin to get in the All-Star game. I will go with Blake over Vucevic right now. I know that Nikola is having a good season in Orlando, but I expect that Orlando will continue to slide as the All-Star game gets closer. But anyways, in addition to Blake's 26-8-7 that he had on Wednesday night, he had zero turnovers, zero. So it got me to thinking, where does he rank in the league? Well, thanks for asking, Matt, and we'll answer that question for you. I looked it up. He is sixth in the league in terms of the most turnovers per game. So sixth highest turnovers per game at 3.9 this season, trailing only, and I guess trailing only, he's ahead only of guys like James Harden, who has the most turnovers per game in the league at 5.5, followed by Russell Westbrook, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Trae Young, and Devin Booker. That's the top five in most turnovers per game this season, with Blake Griffin coming in sixth after that. You know, obviously those guys have the ball, they're guards, they're playmakers, but although Giannis is the only forward ahead of Blake Griffin, you got to give Blake a little bit of credit for the fact that he obviously has the ball in his hands a lot more than your typical power forward. Second on the Pistons, by the way, was Andre Drummond with 2.5 turnovers per game, 34th highest amount in the league to go with his 1.5 assists. So more turnovers than assists per game by a full 1.0. That does not sound very good. That is not very good for a guy who's not the playmaker that they asked him to be last season, but still managing to flub 2.5 turnovers per game. Reggie Jackson is second, 67th in the league with 2.0 turnovers per game. Less than I would have thought, by the way. So good for him there. Blake with the zero turnovers on Wednesday in the win against Memphis. That was the second time this season that Blake Griffin has had zero turnovers. Of games that he has played, of course. He sat the one game out in Philly. But the only other time this season that Blake Griffin had zero turnovers was the game against Chicago on the road, the second game of the year that the Pistons won a nail-biter there. So Blake, by the way, has had, in games that Blake has had one or zero turnovers, there have been seven of those games. The Pistons are five and two. So very good, very strong winning percentage, 5-2 when Blake has one or zero turnovers. In games that he has six or more turnovers, they are 1-7. So of those eight games, they are 1-7. So a pretty good barometer of how the Pistons are doing might be looking at Blake Griffin's turnovers. Obviously, a lot of them leads to a loss, and keeping him down to zero or one means the Pistons will probably win. On Wednesday night, he was played controlled. He kind of played deliberately, less, you know, just putting his butt into the defender and falling into the middle of the defense and kind of taking it from there. I thought he played with more purpose, more decisive in his moves, but deliberate in kind of his planning. You know, I guess it's just kind of a, you know, more reading the defense and taking it from there as opposed to trying to just force through the person who was defending him. I thought it was a strong game from Blake all in all. I've said this before, but I think the team was a bit of a prisoner, I'd say a little bit, a prisoner to the early season success that Blake's bully ball had for them defensively, and I think, or offensively, and I think that he and in turn the team, as the kind of the go-to guy, especially in clutch situations, kind of leaned on it exclusively.
after that. And it's just not that all that effective in the National Basketball Association. And I can't be an analyst of basketball without calling it the National Basketball Association. Turns out Blake just kind of throwing his butt into the defender isn't that great of an offense. But on the other side of the spectrum, by the way, as I was going through some of these numbers, I saw the leader in turnover percentage, lowest in the league in turnover percentage. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to think about it. The lowest turnover percentage in the league. So amount of time, I'm guessing this is the amount of touches they have, the lowest amount of times that has turned into a turnover. It's a member of the Pistons, by the way, as I give you a couple seconds more to think about your guess. Think about it. Let me know on Twitter if you were right when you're thinking about that. Anyway, 4.8% is the number, and the player is Langston Galloway. Off the bench, Langston Galloway apparently just never turns it over. 4.8%, and that's because we know, watching the games, he just shoots it. There's no, I mean, if you're not going to pass the ball, you're just going to shoot it every time. I'm just kidding a little bit, but not a turnover when you miss the shot. But 4.8%, that is the best in the NBA right now for qualified players by a full 1%, which is significant when you're talking about 4.8 to 5.8%. Out of the you know, that's every player in the NBA, clear of them by 1%, comfortably the lowest turnover percentage in the league. Only Piston in the top 20 in that stat this year, by the way. On another end of the spectrum, another thing that Blake Griffin has done extremely well this year, and that continued on Wednesday night, he's picking up the charges. And of course, that was talked about by George and Special K at the telecast ad nauseum, as it should be, ad nauseum, I can say that. He picked up two more of those on Wednesday night against the Grizzlies, including one on the big fella, Marc Gasol, just charged into the paint. Blake stood his ground and took the charge. Good for him. And we know that Blake Griffin is bad defensively all in all, but I like the charges. I love the ruggedness. The big fella to just stand in there. We know how strong Blake is and how big he is. And to take some of those charges from some of those other big dudes in the NBA, I love it. Not something that I think I ever did in my high school career, maybe like once in junior high on like a bad call where my feet weren't really set. But I love when guys can do that. They are momentum plays, absolutely. I believe in that. I believe in them. We got the milkshakes back in varsity basketball when you draw a charge. Again, never a milkshake for this guy. But it takes balls to do that. Detroit fans love it. They should love it. All the cliches about Detroit Pistons basketball and drawing those charges. Ben Wallace, we know, was a big one. Dennis Rodman probably most famously is the charge drawer. But hats off to Blake for that. 17 now for him on the season. Three clear of the next best in the NBA, two guys that are tied for second, and that is Tim Hardaway Jr. and Kemba Walker. Well, what do those guys have in common? They're guards. They're probably drawing more charges from guards, and of course they're about that same size, so that makes sense. But I got a little bit more credit to a guy like Blake Griffin, who's taking charges from Marc Gasol, rumbling down the lane at close to 300 pounds or whatever he weighs. And taking that contact, the next best Piston after 17 for Blake Griffin, by the way, is Reggie Jackson with 4. And players with 2 apiece after Reggie are John Luehr, Langston Galloway, there he is again, and Zaza Pachulia, 1 apiece for Andre Drummond and Reggie Bullock. But 17 for Blake. The Pistons have drawn 29 charges as a team, with 17 of them from Blake and 12 from the rest of the team. Unbelievable. But 29 charges for the Pistons as a team ranks 4th. In the NBA, by the way, looking through the numbers, last in the NBA as a team is the Portland Trailblazers with just 4 drawn charges as a team. Blake's got 17. He's got more charges drawn this year than 12 NBA teams total. And here are those 12 teams. Think if you notice a through line when I talk about these teams. Chicago Bulls, LA Lakers, Phoenix Suns, Cleveland Cavaliers, New Orleans Pelicans, Orlando Magic, Philadelphia 76ers, Utah Jazz, Brooklyn Nets, Miami Heat, Sacramento Kings, Portland Trailblazers. What's the through line with pretty much all of those teams, save for Philly, certainly, and maybe Utah, maybe Portland, but they all suck. Those teams suck, and they don't draw charges. So maybe that tells you something about Blake Griffin sticking his nose in there and doing what he can for the Pistons to get as many victories as possible. And again, salute to Blake for that. We'll see that Utah, maybe they're going to turn around a little bit more. Draw some more. And I'm not saying that's the only indicator of success, but it's something to think about. Gets the fans going, gets the crowd going. And if your best player is the one with it sticking his nose in there and do it. And I think it's just one of those important things. Call me crazy. But anyway, the Locked On Podcast Network, we're doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NBA Net. You get all the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering their NBA teams all in your feed there. It's amazing during game nights, breaking news, and also to get the local perspective. And also follow us on Locked On NBA Net. Same handle there on Instagram. That'll get the one-minute Instagram stories at the top there, and also the longer cuts of clips from the biggest stories in the feed. So make sure you follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. But next, I'm going to talk about the thing that has disappointed me most about Dwayne Casey during this brutal stretch of Pistons basketball. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Well, Bob Quinn should be taking the podium on Thursday morning. Follow everything you need to follow with the Locked On Lions podcast with host Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. He's got a daily look at the Leos. Also check out Isaiah Hole of Locked On Wolverines, and also the Locked On Spartans podcast with my boy Will Hunter. Check those guys out. They're doing a good job every day as well. But Dwayne Casey, I've talked about this. I haven't talked about it, but I teased it that we're going to be talking about something that I'm a little bit frustrated about. It's something that I talked about earlier in the season in a way. One of my bold predictions or one of my thoughts about this team in terms of maximizing where they wanted to go or where they were going to go this year was that if Bruce Brown was going to be playing more than a few point guard minutes, and I don't know exactly how many of them, but kind of taken over at times as the primary ball handler this season. It's something that the Pistons and Dwayne Casey has absolutely not tried yet. I think that he's shown the ability to be a playmaker on the drive, and also he's valuable on defense, which is the biggest reason why you want to have him out there. And it takes, you know, Reggie and Calderon's poor defense out of the equation, especially in crunch time. Now, to the team and the organization's credit, I think that Bruce Brown was a nice draftee so far as a rookie, and they are making more of a long-term decision with him. They don't want to maybe hurt his confidence and with things that could go wrong playing against some of the top point guards in the league, especially with them playing defense against you. I think that he could maybe end up with a lot of turnovers in that regard. And if you don't want to hurt his development, it's maybe better to play it safe. And also, with any extra development time, and keep in mind that with rookies, there's less development time available than some of the other veterans or older guys because of the impending rookie wall that you have coming. And all the development time that there is right now for Bruce Brown, rightfully so, was probably spent working on his jump shooting and his three-point shooting. It's his immediate issue right now, and the one thing that might be able to keep him on the court if it improves a little bit as time goes forward. I just think that maybe it should have been tried a little. But given the big picture idea of it, I'm okay with it. Now, what I'm not okay with is, why no Luke Kennard at the one? Why is this something we still haven't seen? I know he missed the summer league, which was going to be one of the main reasons he was going to give it a go in Las Vegas until the knee injury there. And I get the injury situation over the summer, kind of hurting his development and hurting things that could have happened coming into this season. I get that it's year two for him. He's still very new to the league. He's still cramming a lot of stuff in. But just thinking about this team and the things that he can develop to help his game and add to his game. I mean, he's a playmaker. We've seen that already. I think that this is an asset and a skill of his that's not being utilized enough. I want to see Luke in there. I want to see Luke handling the ball a little bit, and more importantly, to help the lineup of this team, to get in another wing on the court. Maybe you got Luke as a primary ball handler, maybe not sometimes the primary ball handler, because you got Blake who's going to be handling the ball, especially in the half court, quite a bit. But throw Luke out there with Blake and Andre Drummond, and then you can combo guys like Langston and Stanley and Bullock, and maybe get Bruce Brown in there as well, or maybe even the corpse of Glenn Robinson III if he returns from the dead at some point this year. I would like to see how those kind of lineups would work in crunch time, especially defensively, if they can overcome, you know, some of the issues of guys like Reggie Jackson being more used to having the ball in their hands in crunch time. But in that case, you could, you know, put Bruce Brown defensively on the opposing point guard, or if there's a team that runs a lot of their defense through wings like Kawhi Leonard or something like that, you could put Stanley Johnson or even still Bruce Brown on some of those guys, smaller guys as well. Again, you get the ball to Blake most in the half court anyway. It really wouldn't be that much more of a load in my mind as the way that you could set up an offense for Luke to shoulder that. I would like to see that. This is one thing I want to see. So I think especially with Ish Smith being injured these last few weeks, it was kind of a missed opportunity for this not to be happening yet. We've seen the Reggie Jackson and the Jose Calderon world, especially defensively, but even offensively with those guys at times this year. It's just a bad world to live in as Pistons Nation we are here. But I just like to see other things tried, especially as this team has struggled so bad through this stretch.
Dwayne Casey has not pulled the trigger on either of those guys as point guard options. We'll see if it changes. Maybe there's something that that you want to see. Maybe there's some kind of things that have disappointed you most about Dwayne Casey. I hear you guys on Twitter talking about the rotation so much. I think that, and I know that there are problems with Dwayne Casey's rotations, and there are problems with a lot of teams' rotations throughout the league, but I'm just of the opinion that NBA Twitter and a lot of fans spend way more time than they should thinking about how coaches are screwing up their rotations. And it's kind of the go-to complaint for every team complaining about their coach. And I just don't know that it's nearly as important as and of course there are situations, there are rare cases where it could swing wins and losses or whatever. But rotations is a thing that I think is overhyped a little bit by fans that want to find reasons to complain about their coach. But anyway, what do you think? What's your resolution? Get in touch with us on the Google Voice line, 810-666-1546. I prefer the voicemails over the text, but you can do either at 810-666-1546. Give us a follow on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook for the Locked On Pistons accounts there, and give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. This has been your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening, and we'll be back with a Friday episode previewing the game against Utah coming up on Saturday. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will talk to you soon.